The Crow Murder Mysteries. Chapter 1. A Dark Night. The Walking Bridge Murder. By Gary Crosby, MMMCD. DW Carving Studio. In the vibrant city of Fredericton, New Brunswick, resided a young and ambitious individual named Declan. At the age of 16, he harbored dreams of becoming a renowned detective, inspired by the captivating mysteries he devoured in his extensive collection of novels. When news of the notorious Walking Bridge murder gripped the city, Declan saw an opportunity to showcase his skills and determination in a case that had stumped others before him. The Walking Bridge murder had become a chilling tale whispered among the city's residents, shrouded in fear, confusion, and speculation, akin to a flock of mysterious crows. The incident took place on a stormy night, adding an eerie backdrop to the tragic event that unfolded on the bridge connecting the northern and southern parts of the city. The victim, a prominent businessman named Mr. Campbell, was discovered lifeless at the southern end of the bridge, igniting a wave of unanswered questions and conspiracies that lingered in the air like a haunting presence. Various theories emerged surrounding Mr. Campbell's demise, including rumors of his ties to organized crime in Toronto and suspicions of a clandestine rendezvous with a secret lover on that fateful night. The details leaked by local law enforcement painted a cryptic picture of the events leading up to the murder and the current evidence and clues. The clues he would need to consider. The evening of the alleged murder was enveloped in darkness, as an incredible atmospheric river moved in. Allegations had surfaced, linking Mr. Campbell to the intricate web of organized crime in Toronto. His activities that day were as follows. He was spotted at the Boyce Farmers Market in the morning, a place he cherished for its exquisite food and vibrant community of artists. Later, he was observed near the Fredericton Region Museum by Officers Square, according to reports. His evening was spent at Maxwell's Steak and Seafood, a local gem he had patronized for years, indulging in his preferred dish amidst the warm, familiar setting. This establishment stands out as one of the city's most remarkable dining experiences. During his time at the restaurant, he was accompanied by an enigmatic woman and not his wife. A 2x4, foot-long plank was discovered around 10 feet from the crime scene, hidden in the woods. Despite his apparent financial security, rumors swirled about his connections to the criminal underworld in Toronto. He was found dressed in his business attire, indicating he might have been coming directly from work or a formal meeting. Plans for a two-week vacation in Germany were on his calendar, set to start the following weekend, which only deepened the enigma of his sudden demise. A second girlfriend, unknown to his wife and current girlfriend, was revealed, though they were not present in town on the night in question, but in Toronto. His body was discovered drenched in water from the heavy rains that night. Remarkably, there were no visible marks on his body. The coroner's report has mysteriously gone missing, as confirmed by a police spokeswoman. However, the police spokeswoman assured that the report would be recovered shortly. A witness recounted that he seemed profoundly distressed as he left the restaurant. The last sighting of him was his solitary walk towards the bridge after his evening meal. With unwavering resolve, Declan marshaled his intellect and embarked on his investigation. He meticulously sifted through old newspaper clippings, scouring for any overlooked clues or neglected details. Declan requested any documentation he could get from his friend Corporal Woods in the city's police force, which was surprisingly substantial. Organized crime report, police incident report from the night in question, the coroner's summary report. The original report was misplaced. It was weeks after that fateful night, before he was able to make his way to the bridge and the alleged scene of the crime. Declan believed that by immersing himself in the location of the murder, he might gain a profound understanding of the events that had transpired. He hoped, against all odds, that he might uncover something previously missed. Declan noted curiously the absence of power lines or fiber cables on the bridge, an anomaly for such a structure. The bridge is an older rusted steel truss bridge approximately 100 years old. It was an old, solidly designed train bridge after all. This now historical landmark supplied the city with much-needed transportation of commerce from across the province and Canada for many years. It now stands as a silent witness to the mystery that unfolded that night. As he lingered at the scene, pondering the peculiarities of the case, Declan received on his cell phone a cryptic text message. The sender claimed to know what hadn't happened on the bridge but was in the dark about what actually had. They proposed a clandestine meeting at the bridge later that night to share their story. Declan considered this a little strange, but any new information could be helpful, so he reluctantly agreed. Declan knew there was a certain amount of risk in any late-night meeting, but he relished the challenge. Declan arrived at the south end of the bridge just before the stroke of midnight. The night was cloaked in exceptional darkness, with no moon to light the sky and only a few scattered streetlights providing minimal illumination. Declan found himself poised at the entrance of the bridge, anticipation coursing through him as he awaited the arrival of his mysterious rendezvous. Abruptly, a voice emerged from the inky shadows cast by the trees flanking the bridge's abutments. It was the soft yet distinct whisper of a woman, asserting her innocence in the matter of the murder, suggesting that while his suspicions were misplaced, they were not entirely misguided.
"You're looking in the wrong direction, yet it's also somehow the right one," she intimated cryptically.
With those enigmatic words, she retreated back into the veil of darkness, disappearing as swiftly as she had appeared, leaving Declan alone with the chilling mystery that now deepened even further. What did she mean, "You're looking in the wrong direction, yet it's also somehow the right direction"? Just as Declan was about to leave the bridge, he spotted a conspicuous black mark about 10 meters further into the bridge's construction. Finding it odd, he observed that it was quite distant from the suspected crime scene. Additionally, he noticed an unusual color of grass around the bridge's base. Everything else appeared to be normal. All Declan needed to do now was review the three police reports, the coroner's report, the organized crime report, and the police incident report from that fateful night to confirm his suspicions. Interim Coroner's Report, City Coroner, Acting, Davy Johns, dated 19th May, 2024. Summary: due to the loss of the original report, we are unable to supply a forensic toxicology analysis of biological samples for the presence of toxins, including drugs. This is due to the lack of samples and timeline that has occurred since the death. We can only provide you with visual observations and analysis of Mr. G. Campbell. Paragraph 1. The coroner's report was mysteriously missing from the coroner's offices on the 18th May, 2024. Paragraph 2. The body was found in good condition, with no contusions or lacerations and no signs of a struggle. However, there was an issue regarding Mr. G. Campbell's missing right toe. To be clearer, one of his toes on his right foot was missing, and his shoe was also absent from the scene. We believe the shoe was lost during transport from the site. Paragraph 3. All of Mr. Campbell's personal belongings have been returned either to his family or to the police, as required by the investigating officer. Paragraph 4. Regrettably, as the original report is unavailable and the body has been released to the family for cremation, there are no further updates to provide at this time. It is important to highlight the necessity of reconstructing the paper trail within the coroner's office and city police, as well as reinforcing strict protocols and maintaining the integrity of the evidence chain of custody. Police report. Organized crime. Location: City Police. By Deputy Chief Barbara Long. Paragraph 1. After an extensive investigation spanning 8 months, the following has been noted. Paragraph 2. The organized crime family known as Hell's Creations has been making significant efforts to expand its presence in the region, establishing chapters in 3 of the major cities in the region. They have been actively recruiting known local criminal elements into their ranks. However, they are not yet fully established and are not expected to commence their activities for another 6 months. Paragraph 3, David Throng, also known as Red Splatter, the second in command of Hell's Creations, has been meeting with local business leaders to explore potential avenues for expanding their influence within the city. Their known or suspected collaborators listed below: Mr. Tom Clarkson, weapons and money laundering; Mr. David Gibson, local business owner, suspected to be money laundering; Mr. David Campbell, local business owner, suspected to be money laundering for the Hell's Creations and other groups, has been romantically involved with one of the Hell's Creations member over the past 3 months. Paragraph 4. Currently, we only possess circumstantial evidence connecting the aforementioned individuals to criminal activities. However, we anticipate that one of these individuals will soon testify against the Hell's Creations, providing the details we need to have a conviction. Paragraph 5. In summary, there are elements of organized crime operating in the city, with more expected to arrive. It is imperative that we establish a task force to address this issue proactively before it escalates beyond our control. Police Incident Report, City Police. Subject: suspicious death on the city walking bridge. Investigator: Corporal Woods. Description of the incident. Paragraph 1. Local businessman, Mr. G. Campbell, was discovered deceased due to vital signs absent, VSA, in the center of the path, right in front of the city's walking bridge during the early hours of May 19, 2023. There were no indications of a struggle or any obvious signs of potential weapons at the scene. Mr. Campbell was soaked in water from the heavy rains the night before, indicating that he had been there a good part of the night. However, a 2x4 plank was found just a few meters away from the location, near the tree line on the right side of the bridge. The body was stumbled upon by a local jogger at 6 a.m. local time. Mr. Campbell's body has been relocated to the coroner's office for further examination. It is worth mentioning that Mr. Campbell was under investigation for his suspected ties to organized crime. The scene was cleared and reopened to the public by 1 p.m. on May 19, 2024. Paragraph 2. Evidence removed from the site. Remains of Mr. G. Campbell and 2x4 wooden plank. Paragraph 3. The following was noted during the initial investigation on site. Weather over the past 24 hours was heavy rain with scattered thunderstorms in the form of an atmospheric river. The individual that found the body was Kim Gibson and seemed very shaken by the event. She is being provided counseling. Mr. Campbell's clothing was soaked due to the overnight weather. He had all of his personal items: gold watch, wallet with $259.46 cash, cell phone, and set of house and car keys. He was wearing what looks to be a tailored-made silk pinstripe suit. Paragraph 4. This death appears to be suspicious and warrants further investigation, especially considering the deceased potential ties to organized crime. Once the coroner's report is released, a thorough investigation needs to be conducted. Declan now had all the information he needed to solve this murder. What do you think? Was it murder, and if so, who was the villain? Conclusion. Declan finally realized he had gathered all the necessary information to unravel the mystery surrounding what was initially suspected to be a murder. However, it turned out not to be a case of murder after all. Indeed, Mr. Campbell was embroiled in an affair, frequently meeting a mysterious woman at the local restaurant. Moreover, the initial suspects were confirmed to be out of town at the time of his untimely death. While the notion of organized crime briefly emerged as a potential explanation, the absence of any marks on Mr. Campbell's body quickly dispelled this theory. Typically, if a crime family were involved, they would likely leave a mark to send a message. A pivotal moment came when a shadowy figure on the bridge hinted that Declan was both looking in the wrong and right direction simultaneously. This clue led Declan to recall the dark stains on the steel bridge and the weather that night. It became clear to Declan that Mr. Campbell, distressed after his dinner, presumably because his mistress had ended their affair, sought solace in a moment of quiet reflection at the bridge. Tragically, it was a stormy night, and Mr. Campbell was soaked to the skin by the rain. Upon reaching the bridge, he leaned forward, touching it just as lightning struck the structure, leading to his immediate electrocution. This explained the dark mark on the bridge, the discolored grass nearby, and why Mr. Campbell was found drenched. Case closed. The death of Mr. Campbell was a tragic accident,